It's always encouraged to be with one another. That's why I did this. And
thank you, brother.
It was lovely.
That's why we come to the church again. It's a pleasure for me to be today sharing with you this message. I will continue talking about John 13. As you know, we're doing the series on threat, and I believe you guys have been following the thread, and my topic today will be based on Basing Tower and the Spirit. But and it's the whole chapter, it talks about the biggest and greatest event before the death of Christ, which is the Last Supper. And I'll be talking about that. And if you see there is like Basing Tower and the Spirit, but is emphasizing the love of Christ.
Amen.
Because everything when it comes combined, it comes only on one word, the love of God.
Amen.
We come to the church because I need to be reminded for this kind of love of Christ. We're busy, our life is intense, more stress, emotions, things coming toward us. Our life is changing fast.
Yeah.
But only one thing it doesn't change, and it will never change. That's the love of God.
Amen.
And the book of John, just you to know, is marked as an individual like relationship of Jesus with his closest people. If you read through the book, you will see that everything what is emphasized there is the relationship of Christ with his most closest people. And through the book of John, he's talking to me. He's talking to you personally. He's talking to a bigger audience. He's talking to disciples. He's talking to not disciples. He's talking to Christians, to non-Christians, to everybody. Because again, it emphasizes relationship. And what you did this morning now, it's just because you connect. And even on the Last Supper, Christ wanted again to reconnect with his disciples and remind them for this strong connection and to remind them for his biggest standard of love. And today I want to share with you three small points. First one is outrageous love. The second one is courageous love. And the third one is contagious love. We'll read together from the John 13. So to be honest with you, I didn't know what is the word about outrageous love. I didn't know the meaning. I'm sorry about that. English is not my first language. But I was trying to understand what is the outrageous word means. And I found something. The outrageous, it means a profound, unconditional, a radical form of love that defies the logical barriers, social norms, or a typical expectation, and it goes beyond, like it's a consuming devotion. That is the outrageous. But if you make a separation of it, word itself is outrageous. So you go out of your comfort zone.
Okay.
I want to invite you to read together through John 13, verses from 1. I put it here 21, but we'll read. It's a huge passage. Please follow me. And we'll read together. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them till the end. The evening meal was in progression, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had pulled all the things under his power, and that he had come from God and he was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing. Probably this outer is something that they wear before, like wearing their proper clothes, and wrapped up the towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into the basin and began washing his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter. I find myself to Simon, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "The Lord," Simon replied, "not just my feet, but my hands, my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have a bath need only to wash their feet, and their body is clean, whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, not everyone was clean. When he finished washing their feet, he put his own clothes and returned it to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and the Lord, and righteous so, for that is what I am. Now I, your Lord and the teacher, have washed your feet. You also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example so that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is messenger greater than the one who sent him, the one that he sent him. Now that you know those things, you'll be blessed if you do them. I'm not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen, but this is to fulfill this passage of the scripture. He who shared my bread has returns against me. I'm telling you before it happens, so when it does happen, you believe that I am who I am. I very truly I tell you, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me. Whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me." After he said this, Jesus was troubled in the spirit. "Very truly, I'll tell you, one of you is going to betray me." It's a long passage. It's a lot of information there. A lot of people, when they hear that the special meeting is happening, like these leaders of the world or important people gather together, they want to get information. But let me tell you, this supper that happened, it's been and will be the most important meeting that ever happened. You know why? Because God, the Lord himself, has been attending that. And if you see today, I was thinking about this. If you see today, me and you might think, but why Jesus was so troubled just to wash their feet? Why Jesus was not making sure that they will know everything and we be equipped to go out there and just to preach the word and to do everything what is need to be done so everybody will be with God? This wasn't the goal of Christ. Christ wanted to go deep to their heart. Can you guys imagine that the Lord, Jesus, who created me, created you, created everything that is breathing in this world, that he doesn't breathe, he sits down, takes the basin, takes off his clothes, and washes somebody's feet? It's unimaginable. It's not an ordinary thing for somebody that was the most important person. Jesus is the real VIP that ever existed and it will be. I'm telling you. All of the people that we think they are VIP, they are not. But Jesus Christ, who created everything, who knew that he came from God and is going to God, he still humbles himself in the level that I cannot imagine, just going and washing the feet of his created people. Yeah. And why? Because he wants to live a standard. The standard of Christ. You love what matter it is, whatever it is. What doesn't matter where you are, you always need to love. To go out of your comfort zone and love people. Jesus took off his garment, his inside. He was powerful. He knew everything. He knew what's going to happen. And still he was so calm, no pressure, no nothing, sits down and cleans somebody's feet. If you see that, it doesn't have logic. But God did it. Because he is amazing. I have a little son. And I always fight with my wife when it comes to wash him. It's not always nice to wash him. I love him so much. Incredibly, I'm ready to give my life for him. But when it comes to wash him, I kind of tend to struggle. And can you imagine that God himself sits down and washes the feet of someone that's close to him, but it's not a family member or something. He sits down and washes the feet. It's incredible. I'm telling you, I don't have that kind of humbleness. I'm sorry. I don't. I try with all of my power, but I don't have that kind of capacity to be that such humble. Christ have. Christ does. Christ shows. The level of the love that Christ is showing here, it's amazing. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm calling myself to go higher. Yeah. And I'm calling you to go higher. I don't know how it will be like, you know, washing somebody's feet when he's with dirt and ever all of this. But it's something that Christ did it. Christ didn't talk about doctrine. Christ didn't talk about standard. Christ didn't talk what it was important. But Christ left an example. And then example, it's out of ordinary, washing somebody's feet. How you guys will feel like you're just going and washing somebody's feet, ordinary? How are you going to feel? I'm sure you will not feel nice. I'm sure about it, because I don't feel good. But this what is Christ talking about, it's not just physically washing somebody's feet. On the world is a lot of dirt. World is filled with a lot of dirt, I'm telling you. From social media, from fake life, from people that proclaim that everything is nice, it's not. From people that looks like they don't have troubles and problems and everything else, but their life is miserable from the other side of what we see on social media. And I'm telling you, there is a lot of dirt on the world that we need to wash it. How can we wash it? There's people out there that needs our help. It's people out there that needs emotional support. Needs friendly support. Need just to be beside it. Sometimes you don't need to talk. You just need to be beside it. And that's an act of love. And I'm telling you, before I was more bold. But now, sometimes I put my judgment on it. When I see people, I'm like, oh, this person is not open. Oh, this person will not hear about it. When I talk for God, he will not hear me. It's not true. It's just my judgment. And I need to repent about this. I need to do better. I told you that I find myself so much in Peter just because I feel I'm too much confident. I know a lot of information. I know how to deal with life, but that's not true. I just need to repent. I just need to see that what God is giving me, I need to give to other people. God have washed my dirt, and He's still washing my dirt every day. God is merciful with me now and every day, and I need to be so. And you know what I'm lacking? I'm lacking priorities. Because I put my family first, which is not bad. I put my kids. I put my work. Work like 10 hours a day, 12 hours a day. But this is not what God wants. God wants me to help somebody that they can clean their dirt. And I really want to encourage you today. Just please check your priorities. Yep. Check where you are. Amen. Check where you're standing. Maybe you're good. But it's important that we go out there, be outrageous, be courageous, again, that we can help people that have special needs, have needs. To take care about them. I don't want to betray Jesus. That's my biggest fear. Because sometimes I feel I betray Him, honestly. Because I take it as granted, the love of Christ. But the love of Christ is not granted. The price was incredible. And you know, brothers and sisters, me and you know that we came from God and we are going to God, right? But just Satan put us on our life a lot of things, a lot of obstacles. Yep. That we could not see the love of Christ. Yep. And sometimes I ask myself, when things happening in my life, the first question that comes on my mind, it's not that God loves me. To convince myself that God loves me. But I ask, why? Does it happen to you?
Oh, yeah.
I always ask, God, why? Why do you challenge me?
Yeah.
Like, why is this thing happening in my life? But what did he tell to Peter? He said, you don't understand. And sometimes I do not understand the love of Christ. I don't know what He wants for me. I'm really telling you, I don't know what He wants for me. Does He really want me just to build my family? Does He really want me to, like, you know, work? Or what He wants else? I don't know. I'm trying to still figure it out. But for one thing I know for sure, He wants me to go out there. Yeah. And what I got it from free, give it for free. And I still continue to do mistakes. Because I'm saved and I'm selfish. Sometimes I keep this for myself. And that's not right.
Yeah.
So I want to encourage you again. Let's be outrageous.
Yeah.
The Last Supper wasn't just a meal thing, but it was to show that God Himself humbled Himself in an incredible way to show that I love you, but you need to go and share this kind of love. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Courageous love. I'm telling you, Albanian people, they're considered as courageous people. They are considered, I don't know. Everybody tells so. But I don't know if in front of Christ sometimes I feel courageous or not. To be courageous, what I was Googling and looking around, it's that you take your all of your capability, all of your heart, to go and connect. Despite the rejection, And despite if you take a hard break back, it's hard. Because we as people intend to protect ourselves from rejection. Because rejection, it's something we don't like.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It's something that will make us feel that, oh, I'm not worth it. But you know what it comes from? It comes from Satan. God always loves you. The love of Christ never changes. It doesn't matter how bad you made it or what you didn't made it. Our heroes of the Bible, they messed up big times. David messed it up big times. But God still tells him David is the person that have the heart that God wanted him to have. But brothers and sisters, David messed it up big time. And God still loved him. And next slide, please. I want us to read together. Just 1 second, sorry. John 13, from verses 21 and 30. After he had said this, Jesus was troubled in the spirit and testified, Very truly I tell you, one of you is going to betray me. His disciples stared at one another, at the loss to know which of them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was wrestling next to him. Simon Peter mentioned to his disciples and said, "Ask him which one he means." Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I dip it into the dish." Then dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. So Jesus told him, "What are you about to do? Do it quickly." But no one at that meal understood why Jesus said to him, since Judas had charge of the money. Some thought Jesus was telling him about what was needed for the festival or to give something to the poor. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night. The drama here continues. Besides the fact of Jesus showed them an incredible act of love, he humbled himself and washed their feet and was telling, "This is the standard you need to follow." Judas goes and does something else. He betrays Jesus. And you know, Jesus was courageous for one thing, because Jesus is Lord, is God. He could change his mind. He could change his statement and change Judas to not betray him. But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus loved Judas. Besides the fact that he will betray him, Jesus knew that he will betray him. And again, this is unconditional love. This is like something that, again, me as a person, I try to understand, but I cannot. Because if I knew that somebody will kill me, well, will put me on the position that is not nice for me, I don't know what I'm going to do. The first thing that comes in my mind, I'll defend myself. The first thing that comes in my mind, maybe I'll run away. But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus took courage, besides of the fact that he will get hurted, he courageously loved Judas. And you know, it's interesting, because I was reading to this passage and I was thinking, from whom we get more hurted for? It's like the most our closest people, right? You get hurted from the people you're close to because you're vulnerable. You're yourself. And Jesus was betrayed from Judah, the someone that fitted. Jesus fitted him. Jesus trained him. Jesus trusted him. Jesus trusted his money, like the money that his group had it, trusted to Judas. If he needed money, he could go to Jesus and say, "Hey, I need money. Can you please? This is my need." But he betrayed Jesus for a price. And let me tell you, most often we get hurt from the family members. We get hurt from the closest people. We get hurt from our friends. We get hurt at the church. Let me tell you. Because they are most closest to us. But God is calling us to love people in a courageous way. And you know, to love people in a courageous way, you just need to lower your expectations. Wow. Yeah. I do build expectations. I'm a person that builds expectations. If I'm investing in something, I'm waiting to have something in the return. Yeah. It's a normal transaction. I understand that. But that's not God's transaction. God is telling you that you don't need to wait for the result. You need to love because I love you, and you need to pass this kind of love.
Amen.
And you might not get anything in the return. It's fine. Anything. But don't let your heart to be troubled. Don't let your heart to be broken. Don't let your heart be led by emotions, negative emotions, because it comes from your expectations. God's love is something else. And what we need to give to people is exactly this, the love of God. Because my emotions, my love, my heart, Bible says, it can lie you. It will lie you. Because depend on your emotional statement, depends on the position where you are, depends on what you're going through. And everything small might trigger you. And you retreat back. And you decide that people doesn't love you. Or you might decide that people doesn't care about you, but it's not true. First of all, God loves you. And he's calling you, be courageous.
Yep.
Love the people that are very hard to love for you. It's tough. It's tough.
Yep.
I come from a family where the background is a military family. Everything should to be perfect. Like everything should to be precise. You shouldn't like complain. Everything what I was raising up was like, you need to be precise and take your boundaries, whatever it is, take your bag and do your job. In the beginning, I didn't understand, but you know, when I came to the church, I understood the world is not perfect. My family is not perfect. I am not perfect. And we shouldn't be perfect. Only one is perfect. Only God. And if you lay in on his love, you'll find courage to love people.
Amen.
If you lean on your understanding, I'm telling you, you'll get discouraged. You would get like, you get a lot of emotions, brothers and sisters, and it's normal, because we're humans. But God is calling us, love with courage. Not forget what you feel. I'm not talking about this. Don't misunderstand it. Just I'm telling that I took such a perfect, pure in love from God that accepts me who I am, and I need to reflect this. And sometimes I do not reflect. I need to be more courageous. When I'm in front of God, I accept who I am and then say, God loves me. I'll go out there and I love other people. I don't know who is hard for you to love today. But believe me, what I want to say, it starts from you. Yep. It starts from yourself.
Yep.
See where you are with God. Try to love yourself first as you are, understanding your love, like yourself, put it in front of God, accept the love of God, and I believe that you'll be courageous to go out there and to share this amazing love. And I'm telling you again, I'm very open, I'm failing most of the times because of my expectation. That's why I mentioned. Please, again, I'm mentioning, lower your expectation. Focus on God, accept the love of God, and then be courageous to love other people.
Amen.
It's not easy to love people, but it might be easy inside of you. You cannot keep it inside of you. You spread it with other people. It's impossible that you could hold it on yourself. And this is the love of Christ, guys. The love of Christ is revolutionary. The love of Christ has been changing the world, will change the world. Have been changing your life, my life.
Yeah.
And how can I and you keep this kind of love without sharing it? And he's giving us a new command. Love one another.
Yeah.
Not in surface, guys. We need to love one another deeply. Very deep. Accept one another very deep.
Yeah.
Because this is the way how God is accepting us. My life changed tremendously from the moment that I came at the church. In an incredible way. When I was a child, I passed a trauma because my father died when I was 6 years old. And, you know, raising up without a father, it was tough. You know, you needed to be tough all the time. You needed to pretend to be tough to protect yourself in a country that I raised up. You are living on the edge, like people might kill you, people might hurt you, and you need to be tough. But when I met Christ, my life changed.
Man.
Because I'm not living anymore in the edge. I'm living with Christ.
Amen.
And my life makes sense because of Christ.
Yep.
And my life makes sense because of His love. He changed my life in an incredible way, and now I have a family, I have kids, which is built on the church. I didn't even know what it was church before. I didn't even know. I come from a background of Muslim. It's another story I'll share another time, but it's again. I come from a background but really, what changed my life was the love of Christ.
Amen.
What changed your life was the love of Christ. And guys, you cannot keep this kind of love by only by yourself. And I cannot keep this. We need to share with other people.
Right.
I appreciate so much people that get involved in a church service. Really, I do. Because it shows me the love of Christ.
Amen.
It shows me your dedication. You love God. And you, even if you lift up a chair for me, it's very respectful and very loving. People that come and hug you, people that come and ask you, you know, people at first that come at the church, they don't come for the doctrine. It's important. Doctrine and love of God is important, are both. But what people see when they come first, they see the love of Christ.
Amen.
They see the environment. My life changed because of that. Changed because people approached me in an incredible way and took care about me. And I am preaching in front of you today. I am not worth it. It's just because of love of Christ. And you, like again, we cannot keep this kind of love. We need to share it. Please, all of your talents, you're different than I am. You have different talents. I have different talents that you have. But if we combine together, guess what? We'll build up one another, the love will explode, and people will join us. But it starts from here and now. It starts where I am. Do I'm doing something for the church? That's the question I've been doing myself like for a long time. And every week I check because I'm afraid, do I'm doing something for the church? I'm doing something for God or not? Where I am? Just attending a Sunday sometimes, it doesn't make us the greatest Christian.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. But what makes us great Christians is how we live for all the week. Simple phone calls, simple follow-up, simple, I don't know, whatever works for you. I know in Canada you like to text a lot. I don't like it. I really don't like it. People are like, I'm super busy. You are. I am. I know. But we're social. Like, we're human beings. Human beings like to connect. If we don't hear each other on the phone or something be close, believe me, you will not be connected. That's the truth. And that's why we come to the church. We come to connect again. Comes to the first point, what I mentioned when I started my sermon, to connect. To connect with God, first of all, but to connect with one another. You're not lost. You're incredible. God loves you, and you need to share this kind of love. But if we don't call one another, if we just text, sometimes it might be very dry, I'm telling you. For me, it's like, if somebody is texting me, it feels like they just want to get rid of me. I'm honest with you right now.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if that's too much, but it's like, when somebody's just simple texting me, it's like, okay, I'll get back to you. I hate that, like, you know, I'll get back to you. Okay, after a month. I might die for a month, I don't know.
Yeah.
I might die. I might die tomorrow, you don't have time to come back to me. It's just so simple.
Yeah.
It's a 30-second call, one-minute call. Hey, how are you doing? I love you, I was thinking for you, so if you need anything, just let me know. It's so simple. But we don't do that. I lack on sometimes doing that. When I call, I get discouraged when people don't answer the phone, and I'm like, okay, I'm not calling this person anymore. It's my sin, I know. But God is calling me to do that. God is calling me to spread this what I have. And before I close, we're going to take communion. And I just wanted to encourage you again, since we're transitioning to the communion, that let's pray that Lord gives us a rooted love that is like it's rooted on the like on the identity of Christ. So we are rooted on the identity of Christ. So our love is equal with the identity of Christ. Let's pray to the Lord that we do share this kind of love, that we don't expect something in exchange or return. Let's pray to the Lord that me and your brothers and sisters, we're true disciples. And the true disciples love, share their love. Love everybody who is here. First, love God. Love everybody who is here. But please, love outsiders as well. Because sometimes we focus too much on people that are here. We get stuck here and we forget that also there are there people that needs us. And just to close it out, the love of Christ is the basin. It's the basin that is washes your sins now and every day. The love of Christ is the towel, because it's the only love that can restore you. No anything else can restore you. Just the love of Christ can restore you. The love of Christ can lift it up and fill your spirit. The love of Christ can save your soul.
Amen. That's right.
So just don't forget. It's so important, the love of Christ.
Yes.
Amen. Let's pray. Dear God in heaven, thank you so much for your love, your care. Thank you that you gave us such an incredible love that we sometimes take it for granted. But please, Lord, help us to really be rooted on your love. Please to share this love and to not like expect something in exchange. And help us, God, really to be true disciples. Thank you for Christ. Thank you for the sacrifice, for the blood and for the body that was sacrificed for me, for my sins and for everybody's sins. Please bless this communion, God, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.